Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. Amen. We talked about the gospel, that the angel comes down at the end of the tribulation period, tells him about the judgment of God. All the way through here, there's a theme of Revelation. That's why people don't like to read it, because it's judgment, man, judgment, judgment, God bringing judgment. And you go through the tribulation four times. I've been back and forth on it. I've studied that thing. I went three, then I looked and found four. And it's four for sure. And chapter 15 starts the fourth time through the tribulation. So chapter 6 of Revelation, you go through it one whole time in chapter 6. And it's just like the four Gospels, and you would know the Lord to have it that way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And chapter 6, you go through it one time, and it goes all the way down to the end. Go to chapter 6 real quick and look at verse 15 and or 14, and it says, the heaven departed as a scroll, and it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that smite, that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So when you read the book of Revelation, it's talking about from chapter 6 on to 19. It's just holy judgment, man, just holy hell coming down and putting on people. And because men reject the word of God. And right now we're living in the day of grace. We went through that about the gospel last week. We're in the gospel of the grace of God, and if you're saved by faith through plus nothing. Thank God for that. But in the tribulation period, we went through that last time in chapter 14. You're going to have to go. You have to enter the end. And there's in the Matthew chapter 24, they're preaching another gospel. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And chapter 14, we're going through the tribulation the third time. And you get down to the end of chapter 14, and you're at that battle of Armageddon. And man is already there. I mean, you're there. Then chapter 15, you start the fourth time through, and you go through the tribulation. And what he's doing in the book of Revelation, he's giving you a different angle every time. He's giving you a different angle what's coming. And I was telling a man tonight, Billy and Trisha was there with us, a guy I've been witness to for years and years and years. I've been trying to come to church, and his wife said, well, he don't lie. I said, you come to church? He said, no. And I said, well, he's laughed. He said, well, I told you, I don't lie. And I started telling them about the judgment of God. I started telling them that where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I said, if a man's not saved, he becomes just like the snake, the serpent, his father. And I said, and he's a paramedic. Or he's not a paramedic. He works at the fire hall in the fire department. He's a volunteer fireman. And I said, you know that snake they got on the pole? They come with the ambulance? He goes, I said, where'd they get that from? And he said, well, it comes with the ambulance. And I said, they got them on hospitals. Why have they got that on there? He goes, I don't know. I said, you know why? It comes from the Word of God.
That's right. Yep.
I said, in the book of Exodus, Moses, you know, and actually it's Deuteronomy. And I said that God sent serpents down because they're complaining, and he already took care of them. They murmured 10 times against the Lord after he brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And then he brings these serpents, and he says, whoever looks, and then he tells Moses, put a serpent on a pole of brass, and whoever looked thereon shall live. As that's the type of Jesus Christ. I said, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he became a serpent for us. He took your place. Amen. And he tried to walk away. And I said, come here. His wife, and then he says, well, I don't know about that. His wife said, I said, if you're not saved, you're going to become like a serpent. His wife says, and he goes, looked at his wife and said, well, you better get, she goes, I'm already saved. I'm saved. And he says, well, she said, you need to get saved. And I said, look, man, why would you reject the Lord? Why would you want to be like that? I mean, after he done took your place, he done paid for your penalty. I don't understand why people won't get saved. After I said, you want to become a serpent in a lake of fire? Jesus said three times, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know the most important business in this life is God's business when it comes to the men's souls? Because the Bible says, what shall you give in exchange for your soul? What are you going to buy? How much money you can put out? Donald Trump, all his money, all the billionaires around the world got together, put all their money together, even took the deficit that we're in, $19 trillion, and put all that together. It could not buy one soul. Couldn't buy one. And Jesus Christ paid that sin debt. Man, why would you want to go to hell when you don't have to? And man, from with that, he took off. And, but you know, but look in Revelation chapter 14, look at verse 8, and we talked about the gospel. Me and Brother Eric was talking about the glorious gospel. That's in, Titus chapter 3. And the Bible calls it about the glorious gospel, the blessed hope of Jesus Christ and all that. And the glorious gospel is looking forward to his coming. And the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, looking forward to his coming. That's the grace of God. Now, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. I'm going to tell you something. You're living in the greatest time period that God has set. It's called the grace of God. You're living in the greatest time period where you can get saved by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you and from a repentant heart asking God to forgive you. And you can get saved like that. But in the tribulation period, it's going to be a different story. It's going to be a lot of a different story. He that endureth the end, the same shall be saved. You want to know why it's so important for Christians to put out the word of God? Because the greatest time in any dispensation for a man to come to Jesus Christ and repent of his sin and get saved, get clean. Young man that killed himself this past week, it was Saturday, 25 years old. Far as I know, he as a little child, he asked the Lord to save him. But he didn't live for God. He hung himself. And his mama called and said, I want you to tell people that they need to get saved. I want you to tell them. That's what I'm going to do. I'll do it anyway, but I'm going to do it. Now look at verse 9 in Revelation 14. A third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and that's coming, the image and the beast and all that stuff, that's coming down the pike, brother. It's on the train, and the train is running full blast. And you're going to have to worship an image of a man, and it's called the Antichrist. And they already got the mark. They've already got the chip. They can put in your hand or your forehead. They've already got everything. Hey, we're closer now than we've ever been. And people, you know, Christians are falling asleep, falling out, giving up, quitting, all that stuff, when right now is the time to be on guard. Amen. We're in the fourth watch of the night. And we got Christians that want to live for themselves, do their own thing. I'm just tired. I just want to do it. Because I used to do that. And hey, man, don't give up now. Amen. We're in the fourth watch of the night. Amen. And that's when the darkest hour comes. That's when you get the most tiredest. And when you want to fall asleep. And, man, how many of y'all been riding at 4 o'clock in the morning, man, all of a sudden the sun starts coming up and you go, you start falling asleep. That's where we're at. We're at right now. You say, oh, preacher, I don't go. You're trying to scare. No, I'm telling you, man, we're there. We're there. And the Bible says, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. I mean, brother, that's going to be, Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. But he said, if not my will, but thine be done. Jesus drank of the wrath of God. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't afraid to die. He just didn't want to become sin and have the wrath of God on him. And God, he was God, but the Trinity was split. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ became a man and went to a cross, became like a serpent, drank the wrath of God, and died on a cross and went to hell for you and I. Took our place. That's why I told that man tonight. I said, he took your place. And I said, you know what? He took your place, and he died on that cross like a serpent, like that pole hanging on the pole, and he's like that serpent. And I said, you know what? You reject him, and you think you can get to heaven on your own, and that you're going to live your life the way you want. And I said, you're walking over and going, spitting on him. Right. With that, he couldn't take that. I've been witnessing that guy for 30 years. 30 years. We got buses from him. The Bible says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into a cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. That means that whoever's left behind at the rapture, after rapture takes place, our loved ones, our children and grandchildren, if grandchildren are under the age of accountability, they're safe. But there's people that don't know. That's why we go after the kids and try to get the kids in. Try to run the buses to bring the kids in, have vacation Bible school, all those things. So the kids will hear the gospel, and maybe at one point they'll ask Jesus Christ to save them. Whether they ever grow up and do anything for God, we like to see that happen as well. And it says the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever received the marking of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments. Notice that. This is a faith plus works. Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You got to keep the commandments and faith of Jesus Christ. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. You say, man, can that be a blessing? Yeah, blessed are the dead. You know, Jesus told, he told some disciples, they were following him, and Jesus said to a guy, he goes, Lord, let me go bury my parents, my father, my mother. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If a person's saved, when they die, I mean, they're going to heaven, man. They're absent from the body, the presence with the Lord. They're right there with the Lord. But if a man's not saved, right when he dies, he wakes up in hell. So how do you know that? According to the Bible, the Word of God, Luke 16 says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Man, I don't want my worst enemy dying go to hell. I just heard about some ISIS blowing up and some people over in Iran, and the ISIS is Sunnis, and the Shiites are the Iranians, a lot of the Iranians claim they're Persians. And they're killing each other, Muslims killing each other because of religion. I tell people all the time, you know what they're killing each other over? Religion. That's why some people say, well, that's why I don't want no part of the church. I don't want no part of that because everybody's fighting over religion. No, man, when you got salvation, it's not religion.
Amen.
You have salvation, man, that sets you free from religion.
Yeah.
I'm not trusting this church to get me to heaven. I'm not trusting Baptist preacher to get me to heaven. I'm trusting Jesus Christ and him alone. Verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. See there, our labor ain't done. Our labors ain't over till we've finished our race. We were talking about that Sunday morning. We're in a race, and we're supposed to finish the race. A lot of Christians are sitting on the sidelines today, and they're not helping out. They're just sitting on the sidelines. They don't even cheer. They don't even cheer people trying to go on. What they do is they say, look at that. Look where he's running. Look at that. I mean, he's falling all over the place. He ain't making a mess. But they're not even in the race. It says that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And then here you go. Here's a third time into the tribulation, Armageddon. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like on the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, notice the temple, and crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle, sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And now he's likening the people as grapes. Why? Because the Jesus Christ is going to come down into the valley of Megiddo. And he's going to come down, and we're going to be in Revelation 19. We're going to be behind him on white horses. And he's going to come down to the valley of Megiddo. These are all the kings of the earth that come together, the United Nations, come against Jerusalem to annihilate every Jew that there ever is and ever will. They think they're going to annihilate them all. There's only going to be a select few left. The United Nations, the Antichrist, they're going to make Adolf Hitler look like a schoolboy. He's going to go in, and he's going to try to kill and annihilate every Jew there is. Why? Why? You think, why? Why do people hate Jews? Jews has got ability of money. Jews, if you watch these end of these movies, they got Steven Spielberg. You got all these Bergs and Stein. All they're all the ones in the money. They're in the banks. They got the money. They're around the money. They have ability to be able to grab and take. And they're very selfish people. And they take. And they don't want to hear nothing about Jesus Christ. And, but the Lord's going to come back to come back and fight for them. Why? He made a promise way back in the Bible. He made a promise to Abraham. And we read that the other day about Abraham negotiating with God over Lot. He made a promise back there, and he said, you're going to be a father of many nations. And he made a promise, and he said, your seed is going to inherit the earth. Your seed. Why? Because Abraham was a friend of God. Amen. When God makes a promise, brother, you can take it to the bank. Right. When God says something, you can believe it. Amen. Man will tell you something. He'll lie to you through his teeth. Amen. But when God says something, you can go to the bank with it, brother, and cash it. And the Bible says the angel thrust it in, verse 19, thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into a great winepress of the wrath of God. And look at that. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even onto the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs. I'm at 200 miles, about 4 foot high. Horses, men, 200 million men. With all the advanced technology, with all the advanced weaponry, and the Lord's going to come down, Revelation 19, and wipe them out. Look in Revelation 19. Look at this. Here it is again, Revelation 19. Fourth time through. Look at it again. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, verse 11. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, Jesus Christ. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in what? Blood. And it says, and his name is called the Word of God. That's why the devil hates this book. And I was telling you last week, that's why it's so hard for you to do right. It's been in church, read your Bible, pray. Anything spiritual, you're going to have a battle. So that's why a lot of people give up. They give up on fighting. They don't want to fight no more. Fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the biggest fight is against you. That young man that hung himself. That boy, man, I talked to him many, many times. That boy had an opportunity to serve. I kept saying, brother, do right. Get in church, man. He had three kids. He wanted to come live with me a couple times. I said, man, you got potential. Man, be able to follow and serve Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing you could ever do. But he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God, the more you read this book, the Word of God changes you. It gets inside you. It works from the inside out. This book, if it gets inside, and Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. And the more the Word of God gets inside you, the more you start looking at, thinking like him. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You start getting the mind of God, and you start looking at, so you find yourself, you can't hate nobody. You don't want to damn nobody. You know, people say, oh, go to, you don't want to damn nobody. Amen. You don't want nobody to go to hell. You don't want nobody to have to face the Lord without Jesus Christ. The more the Word of God gets in there, it changes you. It gets you off drugs. Gets you away from drinking. It gets you from fornication. It just does something for you, man. The more the Word of God gets in there, it cleanses us. Look what the Bible says in Titus. Look what it says in Titus, chapter 3. The more the Word of God gets in there, I mean, you're still going to have that battle. You're still going to fight. I mean, you don't care. You're going to fight to the day you die. But look in Titus. Timothy, Titus. It says in Titus, Titus chapter find it here in a second. I know I got it marked, but I'm looking right over the marks. Anybody got it? I'm looking where it talks about the washing of the water of the word. Titus, what? There it is, right there. There, right in front of me. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And it says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they that have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable on the men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Man, and so on. So it goes on. But man, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Go back to Revelation. That verse popped in my mind there. Revelation chapter 14. And look on down, it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 19. It says, and the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even onto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Go back to Joel chapter 3. Go back in the Old Testament. And all the way through the Old Testament books, you'll find talking about this day when the Lord's going to come. It talks about that day. The day that God looks forward to is the day when his son comes back and he gets his rightful place. Now, what we have up here on the chart, what we have here is Revelation 6 right there. And then you go through here, that right there is around Revelation 13. That's about Revelation 13. And then on through here, people getting their heads cut off. And it's not a coincidence that today, these past few years, ISIS come along, cutting everybody's head off. And then Kathy Griffith getting up there, holding up Donald Trump's head, and think it was a joke, and then but then people getting their heads cut off in the tribulation period. So then you go all the way through here, and then Revelation chapter 19, Armageddon shows up. You're going through Revelation 14, chapter 15, you hit it again, and we're reading up Revelation 14, the wine press of the wrath of God. It's right there. And God's, coming out. And the Lord Jesus Christ coming down, Revelation 19. Man, there's a woman sitting on a seven-headed dragon. That woman is described in the Bible who she is. That's a religion. That's a religion. Right. And is on this earth right now. Has been on this earth. And this woman gets cast down. So when you're reading Revelation, you said, you get glory in that? No, man. No way. Reading this, man, it should scare the far out of you. And but man said, I don't want to read this stuff, man. It's crazy. Look at this. Look in chapter 3 of Joel, chapter 3. And look what it says. Here we are again. It says verse 11, or actually verse 10. It says, beat your plowshares into swords. Over in Isaiah, it says, beat your swords into plowshares. That's what they have on the United Nations. And they never have beat their swords into plowshares. Actually, they've been carrying more than swords. And beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourself, come, all ye heathen. This is prophecy of Revelation. This is a prophecy of Revelation. Gather yourselves together round about. Hither calls thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened. Come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. You know how man says this. Man says, when I see God, I'm going to tell God a few things. I'm going to curse him out. I'm going to tell God where he can get off at. And I'm going to do this. And they're going to have their chance. They will have their chance. But they ain't going to open their mouth. They're going to see God. They're going to see the Lord. They're going to run for their lives. We read over there in Revelation 6, they said they're going to cry for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them, to get away from him. Why? He came as the Lamb of God the first time. The second time he comes, he's coming as a roaring lion. And if you love your families, you love your children, you love your folks, you'd be doing whatever you can to try to get them saved. And one of the things you can do is live for God and don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite in front of them. Be real, man. Look at here, verse 12. Let the heathen awake and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For something happened in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and it's the valley of Megiddo. Same valley where wars have taken place, battles have taken place. For there will I sit to judge all the nations around about. That's the Lord talking about. I'm going to judge the nation. Right here. That angel that comes down, that angel come down preaching the everlasting gospel, he's coming at the end of tribulation telling everybody the judgment. He's going to come, the nation's going to be judged. Right there. They're going to be judged. Matthew chapter 25. Look in Joel chapter 3 again. In verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision. People are going to get in that valley of Megiddo. They're going to see the Lord coming. They're going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What did we do? What did we do? It's going to be 200 million men coming to fight and against the Lord. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is at near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The sun had something to do with when Jesus Christ was crucified. The sun refused to shine. God let it turn black for 3 hours. The moon refused to shine. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord, look what it says. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. That's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. It says, so shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no stranger pass through her anymore. And and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down. So going into the millennium right there. Go back to Revelation 14. We'll finish this thing up. Revelation 14, chapter 14. It says, you notice it said thrust in the sickle. And this thing is no doubt an angel sticking in. You've seen the old style sickle coming in and thrusting it in. And the wine press, verse 20. The wine press was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the wine press. And even onto the horse's bridle. I said last week, if you look at the valley of Megiddo, there's mountains all the way around it. They got little valleys in between the mountains. It looks like a wine vat where they start stomping grapes, and then the grape juice runs out. That's what's going to happen. Here, chapter 15, you go into tribulation the fourth time. Chapter 15. You say, man, the earth ain't going to be able to take this. The world won't be able to take all this. They're not going to be able to take it. And the Bible tells you, look back in Revelation chapter, look back to chapter 8. Look back to chapter 8. The seventh trumpet. It says, here's the first trumpet. Look at the first trumpet of chapter 8, verse 7. First angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. That's what God did to Egypt. And they were cast on the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the grass, green grass, was burned up. You think about these folks that are environmentalists. They're worried about Mother Earth and all that stuff. You say, do you want to see the earth, throw trash? No, I don't want to see a dirty place. But when he comes back, God's going to burn things. He's going to tear things up. The city's going to be taken apart and all that stuff. You say, man, the earth can't take it. Well, the Lord's going to put it all back together. Why? Why is this? It's the judgment of Almighty God. Man has been spitting in his face for thousands of years. You read the book of Genesis. God put up with the mankind in the book of Genesis up to chapter 6. Then he brought judgment. And he told Noah, build an ark. Only 6 chapters. All the way through the Bible, you got mankind defying God like an ant would defy you. And mankind defying God, telling God where to go. And I tell people that there's atheists that say there is no God. That people say, all you got to do is listen to them. You listen to a man that says he's atheist. And I've been with some men that claim they're atheists, and they will say, God blank this. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Remember, you said there wasn't no God. Why you ask God to damn something? Yeah. Well, they says it's just a matter of a phrase, a speech. And I said, no, the Bible says men swear by the highest authority. What's the highest authority? It's not Buddha and not Muhammad. It's not Confucius. Men swear by the highest authority, and the highest authority is God. God blank this, and God blank GD this. Jesus Christ, they say. Why they say that? You never hear anybody, not even in a Muslim land, they never say swear by Buddha or Confucius. They don't use cuss words for Muhammad or curse words. If they even hear you cursing Muhammad, they cut your head off. Jesus Christ, the highest authority. Look at this. Verse 8 of chapter 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Meteorite. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures that were in the sea had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. So you read all the way through there, man. You find all this stuff, all this hell and destruction and stuff coming. And man says, man always says, this is hell on earth. You know what it's going to be? It's going to turn into it for a few short years. And if a man's not saved now, he'll have to endure to the end and not receive the mark of the beast. If he receives the mark in his hand, and if you don't have a mark in your hand or forehead, you won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to buy food. You won't be able to eat unless somebody feeds you. Or you steal it. And if you receive the mark, you're doomed. They had a show on years ago, and I remember seeing it. And they showed where the government agents put a chip in a guy's hand so they could track him. And the guy was a Muslim, and they were tracking him. And the guy realized there was a chip in his hand. He couldn't get it out. So he had real quickly put his hand on a chopping block, and he chopped his hand off. And when they came in, the government agency came in there, they found the hand sitting there, and the beeper was, is in your hand or your forehead? He said, man, when is this going to happen? We're heading down that road. We're almost there. So Donald Trump's going to change it all. Oh, yeah? He's going to make it all great. I hope he does. I hope he postpones everything for a while so we can see more people saved. That would be a blessing. Now, you said, man, this is not very positive. Well, the Bible's 70% negative towards man, 70, 80%, but it's positive when it comes to God's children. If you're saved, guess where you're going to be? You're going to be up in heaven. If you're saved, even now, the Lord's going to take care of his own. God's taking care of us. He's been good to us. We want to see other people saved. Religion is not the answer. There are people overdosing on drugs every 10 minutes somebody dies of drug overdose in the United States. That shows you that people are not happy. They can't find a reason to live. I've got a reason to live, man. I want to see other people saved. So Sunday, I take opportunity to preach the gospel to these folks that's going to hate my guts for preaching to them. Some of them. I want y'all to pray that somebody gets saved. and somebody get right and want to serve God. And when I'm talking about serving God, I'm talking about just being faithful to him, reading about praying and witnessing, being a witness for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a preacher, just be a witness. Be a witness. And I think everybody's called to preach in the sense of being a witness. That's what you ought to be. Amen? All right, Brother Kim, why don't you come and take a prayer request?
You do a good job.